Christmas time's a-coming, Christmas time's a-coming, Christmas time's a-coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's a-calling, tall pines a-humming, when Christmas time's a-coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing, when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for December 4th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're doing our checkup with my daughter, Rebecca Leland. Hi, Rebecca. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Well, it's just good to get caught up with you. I know I've got people in the audience that they just love hearing from you. I think it's just your youthful perspective, you know, young adult perspective, making your way through this world and figuring some things out. But with the Lord and with the wisdom from Him, which I think we're all enjoying. You know, it's just nice to see somebody who is young and trusting the Lord.
I'm glad it's encouraging.
It is. And we'll be featuring a copy and listening to a song that you just wrote. And that's really what got me thinking about having you on. And some of the background as to why you wrote this song. This is a season of your life when you're single and you're, you know, looking for a relationship, which is normal and natural, and one happened to wander into your world. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited because this is definitely not where I thought this song was going to go, which is exciting for people to actually hear it. I'm 29, and I just started dating this year, which is exciting, for the first time ever. Never went on dates until I was 28, so the end of last year. And I fell in love. I think I fell in love this year, like, hardcore. The love was unrequited. That's not a good feeling. And I feel like I've fallen in love probably, like, three times throughout my life, like, really fallen in love. And they, so far, have all been unrequited, which is interesting. It's a really hard feeling because I'm a feeler, as you know, right? And a strong-willed feeler, which I think is even worse because sometimes my will is actually, I feel like it's out of my control. Sometimes I think that's a strong-willed child thing where we're like, we're not even doing this anymore. Like, it's just, it's my will. Like, it's just this burning thing inside of me that sometimes I feel like I can't control. I think when it comes to love, I feel like I can't control it. I'm like, well, I'm in love with them. And like, it's not like my fault. Like, it's just, it is. And then the unrequited love comes. And I don't love conditionally, right? As we shouldn't, right? A lot of love is feelings based and it's not conditional. So then it's not based on the condition of them not liking me back, which is unfortunate because then I still like them. And so what do you do with that? Like when you're sitting in your room, I was sitting in my room two or three weeks ago and just feeling sad because I was like, I feel these feelings. It's unrequited. It's not true. Right, on their end, and it's not true on my end. Like, I shouldn't be falling in love with them because it's not something that God wants for me. And so I kind of like had this idea that, like, what is unrequited love, right? At its core, unrequited love is me seeking satisfaction from a person God hasn't sent me to meet my needs. And that's kind of a trick question, a trick statement, because God hasn't sent anyone to meet our needs other than himself and his son. Amen?
Amen.
and it's just me going really, really deep into someone to try to seek them meeting my needs because I see something in them that I just really enjoy. But unrequited love is just the actionable step of showing God showing you, nope, not this person. Like, this isn't the one. And then it's like, okay, so how do you get out of that? Like, how do you get out of unrequited love? And I was just sitting in my bed and I had no idea how. Song of Solomon 8:4 came to mind. And it's the stirring up love before it's its time. And it says, I adjure, and that's earnestly request you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Yep, I did it. Like, I stirred up love before it was God's timing. And it's like, what do you do? Like, what do you do practically? And so I grabbed my ukulele that I learned how to play in 2020 during the lockdowns. And I just played the four chords that I remembered. And I just sang a little lament because I don't know why, but laments were on my heart. And this idea of all the Psalms in the Bible, like a lot of them are just laments to the Lord. and they're hard, right? Like, it's like David, like, pleading and being sad and being honest. And so I was like, what if I just write my own little lament? And so I just did. And I know how to rhyme because of you, because you are like the queen of parodies. When we grew up, you would write parodies, right? So I think I picked up that from you. And so I just started writing. And then a little song came out of it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It pretty much took me like 15 minutes to kind of write. And then I grabbed my iPhone and I recorded it because I'm a big social media person. And I feel like if something really moves me and I am moved to make something, I like sharing that. Because I thought, okay, what if there's one other person out there who has felt unrequited love and doesn't know how to deal with it? I remember in 2014, when I was going through similar feelings, I looked on Apple Music and I was like, okay, what's a good unrequited love song? And there are really none for like Christian-based, God-seeking, the genre of like Christian music. There are some, but not many actually for non-Christian music too. So I thought, okay, what if someone's out there like wanting this? So I went and posted it. And it was actually so encouraging. I think it's often the things that you don't think God is going to use really big, and then he does, that are just so exciting. And it was so cool to see how many people really resonated with the song and specifically like reached out. And like I had like a couple people, like this one man who said, I've been divorced twice and I have felt every single thing that you said in that song. Mm-hmm. Or another dear friend of mine of ours said, I cried through that song, Rebecca. And I had a guy who I was in theater with a long time ago, didn't really know him really at all. He DM'd me and he said, hey, I think you need to share this somehow because this is super powerful. And I know that there are people out there our age who are going through the exact same feeling who could really use a song like this. So I searched and I found out to put it on Spotify, it's like $3,000. And I wasn't going to do that. So I went on SoundCloud and I uploaded it for free. Like, so far, 16 people listened to it and 50 people listened to it on my Facebook. And it has just been so cool to see, yeah, God just use it in other people's lives, but then to use it in my life. Because once you learn something, it's not that you're like, okay, check mark, done. You wake up the next morning and you're back at, you know, you feel like square one. But then it was cool to have a song to put on. And like, even this past weekend was kind of hard. And I put my song on and I was just reminded of God's truth. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, it's God. It's like, thanks past self for having future selves back. Kind of an idea. So it's just so cool to see like how God used that moment of sadness and creativity and ability to create something that not only could help other people that I didn't even think of, but to even help the future me. And because I'm pretty sure I will probably have these feelings again as I go down the road. And the feeling specifically of seeking satisfaction through someone who God did not design to satisfy me. Yeah, it's kind of fun to have a song now to turn to that I think I wish I would have had years ago.
It was always brewing in your heart. You had to learn some more things before you were able to put it together. So let's hear it. Here is the song. And Rebecca, the name of the song is?
I just called it Unrequited Love.
Unrequited Love. All right, let's listen.
Take back my heart.
You're listening to Mark and Friends, and that is an original song by my daughter, Rebecca. Rebecca, break that song down into the different component parts and help us understand your thinking behind it and what you really wanted to communicate. And you did it so well. It was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for playing it. That was so cool. So basically, the heart of the song was I was like, okay, God, how do I stop feeling this way? Like, I don't want to feel this anymore. And God does not ask us to control our emotions because our emotions are so worldly and flippant and are controlled by so many things. But he asks us to control our actions, right, and our minds. And so I knew that it's like, okay, where am I going to put my mind? Maybe that's what the key is. So then I just started writing. And it just starts with like, awoken love before it's time. Lord, show me your heart. And please replace mine. And it's just this idea of like, okay, I think I need to seek God first because I did something. Oops, I woke in love before it's time. And then I went into just saying like, I want to hold this guy, but I don't want to hold him to something that he doesn't feel. So it's reminding what is true right now. Like, do I want this guy to have a relationship with me? Yes. Does he want to have a relationship with me? No. And I should not want to hold someone to something that they don't feel. And then it's just like, Lord, help me get out of these feelings. Like, how am I going to do this? And then the answer comes in like the next verses. And it just says, I want to see me the way that you see me. And it's the idea of like, God, who do you see me as? You don't see me as this woman who needs to be completed. You see me completed in you. So like, if I truly saw myself the way God sees me, I think it would change so much of what I seek for myself because I have everything in Christ because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then the second part of that is I say, I want to know you the way that you know you so I can see the truth. And that's the idea of seek Christ, know who he is. If I truly knew who God was, like truly believed it every single day, I would know that I want for nothing. It's like the story of the woman at the well, and it like fits so well into unrequited love. Because this woman was seeking, she was seeking validation through men specifically. Mm. Jesus found her at a place in her life where she was living with a man who was not her husband, and she had done this before, multiple times before. She was seeking validation through men and was not finding satisfaction. And when Jesus found her, she was at the well, and he compared being at the well to himself. And he says in John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And it's the idea that if I knew God the way that he knew himself in perfectly, right? And like in completion and without lies and just truth, I would not be swayed by this world. I would say, oh no, he's amazing. He's everything I need. He is the eternal life. He is the water that I desire. So it's this idea of like, God, let me see me how you see me and let me see you how you see you. And then it goes into this plea, and it's kind of repetitive, but it's just asking God to take back things that I gave away. And it's like, God, take back my heart, because I gave my heart away to someone that I shouldn't have. God, can you take it back? And then it's take back my love. Like, I need to remember my first love, which is God. And then I say, take back my emotions, because that's just really big. I just don't want these emotions, you know, on my sleeve, just about. And I even said, take back my efforts, because the effort that you give to people who you love is good. But if it's the wrong, like wrongly placed, then that effort could have gone to God and doing what he was desiring me to do. But instead, I used my efforts for my own selfish gain. I said, God, take back my time. Like, how much of your time do you spend thinking about someone or being with those people? Like asking God to just like reevaluate my time that I spend. And then the last one is take back my attention, because where your eyes are, you go. And I just feel like not only like physically, but just mentally. And I feel like your thoughts really obviously impact your heart. It's out of the heart, the mouth speaks, it says in scripture. And it's just like, God, take back my attention. Like, where are my eyes? And so it's repetitive, but I just felt like I needed to say it. Like, I felt like I just needed to sing that to Jesus. And then it just repeats again. It says, I want to know you the way that you know you so I can see the truth. I want to see me the way that you see me so I can see me through your eyes, your will, your truth. And so, it was kind of fast to write. And I think it was actually, it was super helpful actually to sit down and re-look through all the verses of the song to kind of break it down, because it really did give me the answer that I needed, which is know God, like really know God. Because the more that you know God, the more that you will, your eyes will be on what matters, and you will not be as easily swayed by this world. And it's not a bad thing to love people. Mm-mm. It's not a bad thing to fall in love. But it's wrong to dwell on lies, and it's wrong to dwell on emotions, even though sometimes it feels good. Like, it feels good to put on a little sad song when I'm feeling sad. And it feels good to get my emotions and just to cry a little. But is that a good feel good? No. I'm dwelling on a lie. I'm dwelling on something that's not true. I don't want to hold someone to something that they don't feel. So I'm pleasantly surprised by what God did through a moment of sadness and a ukulele, you know?
Yeah. You gotta love a ukulele, though. I mean,
you gotta. I 10 out of 10 recommend. Pick up a ukulele. It's only 4 strings and a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's so fun. And now, after, you know, you went through this breakup with this individual.
In my emotions. Well, it's funny. I wasn't even. So I started dating. I did date someone, but this is actually someone who I never dated.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that I had the unrequited love with. Yeah, that's the hot goss.
Okay, because I was attributing this to that last guy that you did date and you ended up breaking up with because you guys just were not on the same page.
Right. No, him and I, God gave me a lot of peace about. I asked God for wisdom and I asked him for peace, and God gave me both very, very clearly, which is kind of cool, isn't it? That he says in the Bible, I will give you wisdom abundantly if you ask me for it. And you ask him for it and he does give it to you.
Wow. And yeah, so you've got a peace about that relationship. Yeah. And there you had it. You had a guy and he, you know, going to Bible school and, you know, he did check a lot of the boxes, but nice guy, but not your guy. Right.
Oh, yeah. And that's a whole nother fun story. Maybe we'll tell another time. But he was a great guy and we were supposed to date for sure. Like, I think it was God being like, Rebecca, you've been single for 28 years. I'm definitely going to show you that you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Not yet. You're not gonna get married yet. But you are on the right track. So I wanna encourage you. And God totally encouraged me through that relationship, just breaking down a lot of lies that I believed about myself so I could see myself the way that God saw me. And God really encouraged him, the guy that as he was dating, because it was his first relationship too. And God really molded us and shaped us. But at the end of the day, we were not each other's person. But it was such an amazing just gift from God, even to go through. Yeah, my first real relationship that was not unrequited love, but actually, would that be called requited love?
So, hearing from your heart, what's our big takeaway with the song? I mean, you mentioned a few of the highlights, but kind of wrap it up for us.
Yeah, I guess I want to ask you, like, as someone who listened to it and. I mean, probably more intimately, like, right, like as your daughter was singing it, right, and writing it, what would you say is something that you kind of took away from it?
I think it's to not give anyone our heart fully except the Lord. Just give it to him and then give him the will then to teach us who we really share that with and who we can trust with it. I just think the whole idea of worshiping him and not a human being. I met my mate and he checked all the boxes and I had plans for us to live this easy peasy life. It's hard. It's just hard. Yeah. And some of those good feels, they fly quick. So you've got to rely upon something other than that euphoria of finding someone who you believe loves you. You have to rely upon the Lord and say, God, knowing you is what satisfies. The rest is just, is bonus.
Amen. I love that.
Well, I love you, my dear, and I'm so grateful that you got a chance to pop on and share with our dear listeners.
I love you too. Yeah, thanks for everyone listening to my song. That's so fun. Yeah, it was such an honor. I definitely didn't see this as the outcome of writing a little song, but I hope that it blessed someone listening today. Even if it's not perfectly matching your story, I think it can definitely relate to a lot of us in a moment of our lives feeling feeling unrequited love and just needing the reminder to go back to our first love.
That's right, because he loves us with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Coming up tomorrow, Pastor Jason Schiffo and the team give you some great insight from the Word of God. Tune in tomorrow on Mark and Friends. Have a great day.